Imagine being forced to play a role in someone else's twisted childhood memories, where forgetting a line means death. This is the nightmarish reality Brooke has endured for 10 years since her abduction in Portland. Held captive in a remote Oregon coast cabin, she wears a metal collar that must be charged daily or detonate. Her captor, Grace Wakeford, an elegant, wealthy woman in her 70s, forces Brooke to play Helen Hamilton, Grace's mother, in an elaborate role play alongside fellow captives. The rules are simple yet absolute. Stay in character or die. Grace believes recreating scenes from her childhood will somehow heal her trauma. Brooke has witnessed countless deaths, like the young man playing Grace's father who failed to respond when called Dad. After a warning and repeated mistake, Grace shocked him through his collar until he died, chanting, "Your name is Albert. You go by Dad." His body remained overnight as a warning. Initially tormented by whether she could have intervened, Brooke has grown numb to preserve her own survival. Though hardened externally, she privately grieves for her daughter Jessie, unseen since her abduction. Despite self-imposed rules against forming attachments, a defense mechanism after watching countless captives disappear, Brooke couldn't help developing feelings for Tyson. Unlike the typical scum recruited by Grace, Tyson offered small kindnesses like dandelion chains and uniquely shaped stones during their captivity. Their connection deepened when Tyson observed that Brooke actively searched for reasons to keep people distant. His words, "Getting attached is the only reason for living, otherwise we're just waiting to die," cracked her emotional fortress. That day, he revealed his secret escape tunnel behind the compost pile, something Brooke had abandoned after witnessing Grace execute her previous escape partner. Derek, a former detective battling addiction, initially approached Brooke with hostility, yet shared trauma dissolved these barriers. Derek confessed his spiral after failing to solve a child's murder, while Brooke revealed her guilt of being forced to choose which captives would live longer. Their antagonism evolved into a bond, proving that even in darkness, human connection provides a lifeline to sanity. Grace Wakeford's elegant exterior, blood-red lips, suspected surgical enhancements, and expensive clothing conceals profound psychological darkness. In her 70s, but appearing younger, she moves with the confidence of someone accustomed to power, exuding both privilege and menace. Her psychological decline manifests through obsessively recreating childhood memories. She's purchased properties from her past, transforming them into stages where captives reenact her childhood. When her husband Jerry threatened to sell these properties, Grace eliminated him, establishing a pattern of removing obstacles to her fantasy world. Mitch, her former police officer enforcer, procures new cast members from streets and dive bars. After once rebelling, Grace scarred his chest as a permanent reminder of her dominance. Her control system includes explosive metal collars and an invisible perimeter boundary, technology developed by her deceased son. Grace's instability is most evident with Derek, who plays her father. She alternates between inappropriate flirtation and explosive rage, particularly when he responds. Her insistence that Albert never came on to his daughter reveals deep trauma underlying her elaborate fantasy world. When Grace announces young Grace, Kinsey, will soon marry Gerald Wakeford, the captives recognize danger. Kinsey reveals that Albert and Helen Hamilton died after Grace's previous wedding recreation. Once Grace achieves her perfect moment, she eliminates her players. This prompts a desperate plan. Brooke and Derek will seduce their captors to extract escape information. Derek takes on charming the volatile Grace, his military training inadequate for this psychological warfare. His physical strength is neutralized by Grace's electronic collar remote. Brooke begins her campaign with Mitch, feigning acceptance of captivity. The strategy backfires when Mitch reveals his surveillance of her family, describing her daughter's routine and her mother's cancer diagnosis. This invasion destroys any hope of manipulation, yet she must maintain the charade for survival. The plan's danger becomes evident when Derek misreads Grace's signals and attempts physical contact. Her response is immediate, activating his shock collar while explaining that intimate contact remains forbidden despite her attraction to him. Novelist Mina arrives at her Oregon Coast rental to work. From her window, she spots a little girl writing "help" in toothpaste on a neighbor's window. When investigating, she's confronted by a man with a silver Jeep who claims to be disabled and explains they get food delivered. Her concern grows when she later sees a bloody smear on the window and calls 911. The same man, now in a police uniform, enters the house with a key, claims everything is fine, and drives away without explanation. When Mina sees the man taking the girl in his Jeep, she plants a GPS tracker and follows them to a remote forest road. She continues on foot until she hears a child scream through the rain, leading her to the cabin where Brooke and Derek are held. Derek recognizes Mina as Paxton Rodriguez's mother. When captured, Mina shares her daughter's disappearance story. Brooke revealed she knew Paxton during their captivity, a bright child who asked for just one more story, Auntie B, at night. Grace killed Paxton by slitting her throat when the child couldn't follow rules about staying hidden. As Grace announces the wedding day, the captives face a desperate deadline. Brooke discovers collar detonations temporarily disable the perimeter, suggesting an escape route requiring sacrifice. When Mitch refuses to confirm this theory, Mina unexpectedly kills him with a metal file. Grace arrives with a gun, shooting Derek when he attempts an ambush. Enraged at her disrupted final scene, she sets fire to the cabin for a more cinematic ending and offers a grim choice: burn alive or cross the perimeter for a quicker death. As flames spread, Brooke retrieves a dead child's collar, placing it in Derek's hand. She tackles Grace outside and slashes her throat with Grace's own knife, declaring, "I kept myself alive, you bitch." With the cabin engulfed, Derek tests their theory by throwing the child's collar over the perimeter. It sparks and smokes, confirming their hypothesis. One by one, they cross to safety, their collars finally loosening. They're truly free. As emergency vehicles approach the burning cabin, Brooke, Derek, and Mina embrace their freedom. Brooke confesses her genuine feelings for Derek. Their connection, forged in darkness, somehow blossomed into something real. Mina reunites with her husband Brady, who led search efforts during her absence. Her wall of grief over Paxton's death begins to crumble as she apologizes for her emotional distance and affirms her love. The survivors quickly alert authorities about other captives. When Derek asks about their future, Brooke simply responds, "I guess we start living," capturing both their challenge and opportunity. Their liberation represents more than physical freedom. It's a chance to reclaim their authentic selves. Though scarred, they've regained power over their own narratives. Their journey shows that human connection can flourish even after unimaginable trauma, suggesting healing becomes possible through the bonds we forge and the stories we choose to tell.